Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Vintage Vinyl, the record shop on Del Mar, is a St. Louis institution, and a recent Nine Network documentary features its owner, Tom Papa Ray.
This is a media storage unit called an LP. And this is a media storage unit called a 7-inch 45. Now, these have both been around the block, but you know, each one of these sounds better than your iPod or that MP3. So the question is, what else are they lying to you about?
One, two, three, four. I want everybody to get up now. Let's do the St. Louis breakdown. Come on.
That's from Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. It re-airs tonight at 10:30 on 9PBS.
One of our intents with this episode was, quite sincerely, to do what we call a love letter to our city.
Vintage Vinyl has been a St. Louis institution for four decades now. The shop on Del Mar began as a booth in the Soulard Farmers Market, where Tom Ray, better known as Papa Ray, and Lou Prince sold records. 41 years later, Tom Ray is still selling records and drawing music lovers from across the metro area. I'm Sarah Fenske, and this is St. Louis on the Air. And before we move on, I want to remind you that the biggest source of St. Louis Public Radio's funding comes from listeners like you. Because you value what you hear on St. Louis on the Air, donate today. Go to stlpr.org/donate. That's stlpr.org/donate. I spoke with Tom Ray in September. We're happy to once again bring you this conversation.
It is a musical day in the Del Mar Loop. Great to be with you, Sarah.
So, Tom, this documentary is about vintage vinyl, but it's also about music and it's about St. Louis. Do you feel like your soul has just been captured in documentary form?
I hope the musical soul of St. Louis has been captured. And one of our intents with this episode was, quite sincerely, to do what we call a love letter to our city.
And you say this episode, I know you have some plans to have future episodes. What are you thinking on those lines?
We are having, well, we've planned for a while to have a docu-series on independent record stores, their relationship to their communities, their cities, and their relationship not only to their customers, but to whatever the music, traditions and scene in their particular town is at the time.
So that's been your dream for a while. What's the holdup on bringing that to reality? It seems like such a no-brainer.
Well, money.
Isn't that always the problem?
Several eras of this since about 2014. At one point, somebody wanted us to do a slick reality TV show with the mating habits of millennials on the forefront. We didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And none of my staff wanted to even be on camera for it, which just made me feel incredibly proud.
This seems like a sign of good judgment right there.
Right. But what we're looking at now is with this episode, we're hoping it's going to stir some interest. Perhaps PBS will want to do an ongoing series or someone else.
Hmm. You say in this show, you say you opened a record store because you wanted to be in the music industry on your own terms, but you weren't sure you could get a job elsewhere. Can that actually be true? That sounds way too self-deprecating.
Well, I did have a job at the time when I returned to St. Louis from Manhattan. I did have a part-time job as an usher at a movie theater in West County that has since been torn down.
Hmm.
And I did have a weekend gig playing music with a gentleman named Silver Cloud. But honestly, at that point, 1979, 1980, the music industry was experiencing its first actual recession since 1929. and it just seemed like a good time to try and do what we were wanting to do.
Hmm. And you say when you came back to St. Louis, what originally brought you here? I can tell from your accent you are not a native.
A car brought me, and it brought me up here because I had gotten a really nice scholarship at Webster College, where I met many wonderful people and, you know, had the feeling that the inmates had been handed the keys to the asylum.
That's a great feeling.
Yes.
So you were here for Webster, and then you went to New York. What brought you back?
How to put it? I've been in Manhattan for 3 years. I realized that the kind of store my then business partner and I at the time were envisioning didn't really exist in St. Louis. Both of us were very fond of being in St. Louis. And it was just a, it just seemed like an opportunity.
Hmm. And as I mentioned in that intro, you started at the farmer's market. How were you able to take the leap from just selling these things at a booth to saying, you know what, we're going to open a brick and mortar store?
Well, we started in August of 1979. We're building a clientele through the succeeding months. And in the spring of 1980, which, you know, was not the busiest era in the Del Mar Loop, we found about an 800-square-foot store and opened our doors there.
Hmm. So as you mentioned, this wasn't a great time in the music industry. This wasn't a great time in the Del Mar Loop. It sounds like you had some challenges there in the beginning, that maybe this wouldn't be time somebody would have picked if they were trying to do it perfectly. Why do you think you were able to succeed in spite of two pretty big obstacles right there?
Well, as I say in the documentary, there were two things that the Del Mar Loop had. It was certainly the closest thing to a multicultural center in our city. It was a racial neutral zone. It had Washington University nearby, and it had that very rare thing. People actually walked up and down the street.
So you were able to lure them in just by having a door that was open.
Well, and, you know, there was already two other record stores on the street. We opened up between the two of them, and within a couple of years had bought out the owner of the other store on Del Mar. And, you know, I figured with the then Streetside record chain operating their sort of their, you know, mothership on Del Mar, it really helped make the U City area a destination for people looking for music.
It's interesting. It seems almost counterintuitive. You went to where your competition was because you knew that's where the music lovers were.
Call it confidence.
Now, this documentary, again, this is Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow on the Nine Network. It actually features a commercial that you did way back in the day. We kind of felt like we had to play this one. So let's listen to this commercial. This is going back decades here.
Yes, St. Lulu, Papa Ray, Vintage Vinyl saying, look, it's time for some CD and DVD spring cleaning. Yeah, that's right. Time to get rid of those unwanted CDs and DVDs. Vintage Vinyl gives you more in cash. Vintage Vinyl gives you more in trade. And yes, we want your used CDs, DVDs, and LPs. Vintage Vinyl, your music now.
And that, of course, is a commercial for Vintage Vinyl, as shown on Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow, now on the Nine Network. Tom Ray, I got to ask you, St. Lulu, did you really call it that back in the day?
You know, no holds barred. And to be honest, at that time in the record industry, they had a thing called co-op advertising. This is when the music industry really had money. And they were always, you know, after a while, the labels were wanting us to, you know, buy print ads. But I always maintained that going on radio was a much more dynamic way of reaching customers. And I always viewed our commercials as sort of like 30 and 60 second recordings, and wanted to make sure that it didn't sound like, you know, an advertisement for timeshares in the Ozarks, or, you know, the latest watering hole out in Westport.
As much as that commercial just, it sounds like kind of a lark and you're obviously having fun with it. I know music is something you take very seriously. That also comes across in this documentary. Now, Randall Roberts used to be the Riverfront Times music editor. He's now a staff writer with the LA Times, covers music for them. He's in this documentary quite a bit. And in this clip I want to play here, he explains what music means to you.
For Tom, it's a spiritual thing in his own way. He is kind of a preacher for music and for the spirituality of music. He lives it as a performer, as a DJ clerk. He loves being on the floor teaching people about music. It's not just about running a store or making money to live. It's his life.
And that is LA Times writer Randall Roberts. Tom, if this is a religion for you, what would you consider your come to Jesus moment when you found what music would mean to you in your life?
Well, to begin with, I've never seen a dollar walk down the street, give anybody a hug. If it had really been only about money, I would have probably gone into the preaching business. But I just always was, when I was at the age of five, if I heard a Bo Diddley record or a James Brown record, or a little bit when I was a little older, it could be a Marty Robbins record, or it could be anything on the radio, and it just, I would be spellbound. I'd be like a hypnotized chicken.
A hypnotized chicken. That's a pretty good turn of phrase there, I have to say. Now, you started this store with Lou Prince, who's also very well known in the St. Louis area. You guys parted ways about 5 years ago, very amicable split. Did he feel the same way about music, or did you guys have different perspectives that you brought to this business you built together?
Well, he was from the Northeast. I was from the Deep South. I think in some ways I had a more visceral exposure to the music. And But we had both had experience working for other people in the music industry, and, you know, we were ready to, so to speak, throw in our lot with the other stores in St. Louis.
What do you think changed for him? Why did he decide it was time to give it up?
I think the music business had perhaps was no longer as much fun. As it was, and certainly there are, you know, when you're in a, you know, here's the example I give. If you could order a beer or a martini for free online, how much blood would pour out of the bodies of bar owners?
Yeah. I mean,
the
economics changed so dramatically.
Well, you know, and so for us, part of it is making it worthwhile to come to the store, making it worthwhile to music listeners to have that sort of communal experience and to be able to actually hold physical music in their hands.
Mm-hmm. What kept you going when clearly some sea changes in the industry and nobody could blame your partner for deciding this is too much change, I'm moving on?
Well, it was too late to stop now, and once more, nobody was going to give me a job.
You weren't ready to retire yet?
No. I mean, actually, one of my customers years ago, who's in the insurance industry, used his salesman's voice and said, "Well, Tom, what are your retirement plans?" And I looked at him and said, "My retirement plan is to drop dead on the floor of the store talking to somebody about music, and I hope it doesn't mess them up too much."
That is, you know what? I'm going to save this for your obituary, because you've captured the way that anyone who loves their job wants to go out. And that just really comes across in this new documentary. That, again, is Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow. And we are talking to the Papa Ray himself. That is the co-founder and owner of the store, Tom Ray. We do need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.
We're listening back today to my conversation with Tom Ray. He's the founder of Vintage Vinyl, and he still sells music there today, 41 years after he started the business with Lou Prince. He's the star of a documentary that premiered on the Nine Network in September. It's called Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow, and it re-airs on Nine PBS tonight at 10:30. Now, during our show in September, we heard from several listeners. Tom, we're hearing from a lot of people who have some memories of vintage vinyl. I can't say I'm surprised by that. I imagine it's hard for you to go anywhere in this town without people wanting to talk to you about what this store meant to them.
There are worse things to have happen to you. And I just really quickly want to say the main reason Vintage Vinyl is one of the very, very best music stores in the United States is I have an absolutely ace staff. And they always make me look good. And I'm always going around in St. Louis having people say, your people are so nice. They know so much. So that is a big, big part of the equation.
You know, it's interesting. You said in this documentary, Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow, that when you saw High Fidelity with the snobbish record clerks there, that just made you cringe. You're going for quite the opposite thing than what a lot of people associate with an indie record store.
I sank down in my seat. I mean, it was just physically uncomfortable. I was going, oh, I've seen that. Oh. So
you had a real desire not to be music snobs.
I'm sorry?
You had a real desire at your shop not to be music snobs in the way the clerks in that store, they just want to show off their own knowledge.
Well, you know, one of the things I always say is it's all ear candy. That's what music is. It is something that is a balm and a blessing to humans. And if somebody wants to listen to, I tell my staff, that person who's buying music that you may not particularly like, well, guess what? That helps pay your salary.
Hmm. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom is calling from South County. Hi, Tom. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Yes, thank you. When I was a teenager in the 80s, Lou and Tom were the guys behind the counter and talk about a customer service precedent. I'd go in there and I'd say, I've heard about this Muddy Waters. Where do I start? And they'd hand me a Chess Records collection. I'd say, I've heard about Lenny Bruce. Where do I start? And they'd say, with the Carnegie Hall concert. Those records are still the most important records I own today. And I just, my experience obviously probably represents that of thousands of other St. Louisans and Midwesterners. And I just thank you, Tom.
Thank you
for that. That's a great testimonial. Tom Ray, do you ever find yourself getting stumped? Somebody comes in with a question like that and you actually couldn't answer it?
Absolutely, which is why I've got my staff.
It's not all you.
I mean, it's like a tag team. You know, if somebody asks me about something and I don't know, I can always find somebody on staff that knows more than me.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Dave is calling from St. Louis. Dave, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to add that not only has Tom created an incredibly successful music store that still thrives today in the online world, but he also has always been behind-the-scenes supporter of local bands going back to Tommy Bankhead and the Blues Eldorado, and he plays a pretty mean harmonica as well.
Hmm. Well, Dave, thank you for sharing that. This harmonica, have you heard Tom play the harmonica?
Oh, yeah, many times. You can catch him around town if you're lucky. He sits in with several bands that I know of.
Wow, well, that's a good little pro tip there. Dave, thank you for that call. And Tom, who knew? Where can one see you live in the flesh? I guess this is probably the wrong time with the coronavirus raging.
You know, it breaks my heart, but I haven't played out in 6 months.
Mm.
But I'll say this. If I can perform in St. Louis and North St. Louis and East St. Louis, if I can play on a blues set and, get applause coming on and going off, when I did the same thing in London or New York or New Orleans or Montreal, believe me, there was no stage fright involved because, you know, this town here is it is one of the great foundation cities for music in the world.
Hmm. Tom, I want to bounce off something that Dave said. He talked about the work you've done to promote the music scene here. You talk a bit in the film about how St. Louis has this talent, but you also say that it didn't necessarily have the business side there to monetize it. Why do you think that hasn't come together for us with all the talent there is here?
It is a total mystery, and the example I give is this. Everybody that is associated pretty much as the kings of Chicago blues, they were all in St. Louis, performing in St. Louis, living in St. Louis pretty much before they made the move to Chicago. So if there had been someone here, let's say in 1946 or 47, who would have been able to record those artists as they were coming up from Mississippi, the term Chicago blues would not have nearly as much resonance.
Hmm. So this is a great missed opportunity for the city.
One of the problems in St. Louis with both the political and corporate class is that they have never been able to figure out how to successfully monetize the city's music profile, heritage, and legacy. Other cities do it all the time. But for some reason, we have cultural amnesia in St. Louis as far as music.
That's a very sobering thought. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jeff is calling from South St. Louis County. Jeff, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
Hello. Repeat that again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying you're on the air. Thank you for joining us. What's your vintage vinyl story?
Oh, well, I just Tom and Lou, they've been around a long time. And, I mean, they're from the streets of St. Louis. They worked their way up. They deserve all the things they've achieved. And, I mean, I've seen it. And they work for the common weal, the common good. With KDHX. And, I mean, what could you ask for? You couldn't ask for better. And the other thing, Tom, he hit it. St. Louis has this weird cultural amnesia, and it's people like Tom Ray and you know his associates that make St. Louis a place to be. That it's significant as far as monetizing. I think Tom did a good job at monetizing for himself.
Jeff, that's a great point. At least two businessmen here have figured out how to monetize the great music scene here. And Jeff, thank you for that testimonial to Tom's work here. Let's go back to the phone lines. Marty is calling from St. Louis. Marty, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
All right. I'm doing okay. And I just wanted to say hello to Papa Ray.
Hey, now.
Hey, what's going on, Papa Ray? How you doing, man? Enjoyed your show, too. One of the times I met Papa Ray was at a harp attack at the Off-Broadway.
Mm.
And had the pleasure playing and bagging all the harmonica players. But Papa Ray did his own thing, and he stood out, you know, because he just had his own style of doing things. And one of the things that I always appreciated about Vintage Vinyl is their longevity, because there was a lot of record shops around and stuff, and then they start slowly going off by the wayside. But Vintage Vinyl just stayed there and was on focus and everything. And anything that you wanted to get, you know, new or old, it was there.
Marty,
and I appreciate him the way he, like I said, takes care of the local scene around here.
Marty, thank you so much for that. And Tom, there's an actual testimonial to your harmonica playing. This seems to be, you've got a lot of fans, not just for the records that you sell, but also for the music that you've made.
Well, you know, I had the advantage of apprenticing, so to speak, with people in St. Louis who had played with Ike Turner, who had played with Albert King, who had played with Chuck Berry, who had played with Little Milton Campbell. I mean, that was the home team there. And as I said earlier, you know, if you learn to be able to be convincing on stage in the blues field in St. Louis, you can walk out on stage anywhere on the planet and look to people and kind of grin and say, I'm here to give you the blues.
We also heard from a number of our listeners on social media, on our St. Louis on the Air Facebook page, also our Twitter. Mary's memory of vintage vinyl. She remembers hanging out in the 80s and buying a Rubber Soul album, and also taking my audiophile teen and watching his eyes get big as we walked in. Tom, you're probably at the point where you've had now generations of music fans finding you.
I get to kiss babies.
That's every politician's dream, right?
Well, but and I kind of at times feel like I'm the pharmacist or the doctor in a small town that has, you know, seen the generations in that area develop and all. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's all sincerity. It's a real blessing.
M. Edwards also writes on Twitter, found an Elmore James CD that I'd been looking for a long time and yelled out Eureka so loud I scared my husband, who was standing on the other side of the store. I miss browsing there. And I do want to say, as much as I know some people miss browsing there, they're staying at home for good reason. Tom, you guys are actually open. People can come in and look around. They just need to keep their distance. Is that correct?
Well, we're lucky that we've got a 7,000 square foot store. And that allows quite a number of people to be able to come in and still be, you know, safely, socially distanced. We closed 4 days before Missouri asked businesses to, and we waited 2 extra weeks after May 18th before we did open our doors, because we wanted to do it exactly right. And one more time, my staff has just really stepped up. Very, very heroic.
And have you found our sales down just because people aren't out and about so much right now?
Our sales are awfully good. And I'm just at times like, just, I think what we provide is not only a sense of community, but we provide for people who are spending more time at home something to listen to while at home.
That totally makes sense. People are actually able to enjoy that music. They're not just rushing about. We have time for just one more caller. I want to squeeze this in. Bradley is calling from the Tower Grove neighborhood. Bradley, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for...
Musically.
That's a good answer. Bradley, what's your vintage vinyl story?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick story. Several years ago, I was down in the Loop, and Craig Finn from the Hold Steady was playing at the Pageant, and I wasn't able to get tickets. But I strolled down, and he was that afternoon doing a free set at Vintage Vinyl. I walked in. A staff member immediately handed me a free cold Schlafly, and I got to stand 10 feet from Craig Finn and talk to him afterwards. It didn't cost me a dime. And I just want to thank you. I know you guys do those kind of shows all the time, and they really do mean a lot to people.
Bradley, thank you for that. That is just a terrific memory. And I've got one more that came in from Twitter. Alan writes, I've been a vintage vinyl customer since it was a storefront next to the Tivoli. I'd like to thank you, Ray, for all the music you've introduced me to and all the strange requests that you found for me. So, Tom, Ray, this has turned into such a love fest for you today, but I hope it's been as enjoyable for you as it has been for us. And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
And I just want to say one thing. I hope everybody in this city supports our local media, like your station, like KETC, like KDHX, because we provide a much more focused and accurate look at what's going on in our community than anybody can in New York or LA.
That was my conversation from September with Tom Papa Ray, the owner of Vintage Vinyl in the Del Mar Loop. You can catch Papa Ray's Vintage Vinyl Roadshow on the 9 Network tonight at 10:30.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.